Welcome everybody to Easter week. Can you believe that we are actually here? Easter week is really just the name that we are putting on this special week in our year that maybe if you're a believer, if you're someone who calls themselves a person of faith, you may think of as Holy Week or the week leading up to Resurrection Sunday. Listen, whatever you call it, know that this week is a significant week in church, not just at believing, not just in Memphis, but literally around our world as Christians all over the globe celebrate and give honor to our God for his life, his death, and ultimately, as we will celebrate on Easter Sunday, his resurrection from the grave. That is what this week is all about. It starts on today with Palm Sunday, but looks ahead to what will happen at the end of this week. You know, for us as a church, this week really will be a week of celebration. If you are someone who's able to connect here locally into what we're doing, there's a lot happening in and through the church that is celebratory. In fact, this Saturday, we're hosting our Easter party, and it's going to be an amazing time of just celebrating together, giving families a free, fun opportunity to connect right here in the neighborhood. Next Sunday, we're going to celebrate Easter Sunday together online and in person. And I hope and I pray, whether it is online or in person, you make your way into God's house and connect with us, that you would invite your friends who don't know God to be here, because oh, do I have a word for people who don't know God this Easter. My goodness, I'm ready to preach it right now, but it ain't Easter yet, it's Palm Sunday. But not only is this week about celebration, you've got to understand this week is also about reflection. It's about allowing what our Savior went through to purchase your freedom and mine, to give you the chance to be made right with God. And so we'll have moments like during our midweek prayer time to reflect. We'll have moments like at our Good Friday communion service, where there'll be a time of worship, prayer, and the receiving of communion, but ultimately the reminding ourselves of all that Jesus went through for you and for me. But today we start Easter week officially. Today is the beginning of it, and it begins with this Palm Sunday and us getting ready personally and collectively. Really, in these few moments that we're going to spend together, whether you're watching at church online, you're watching this on YouTube, or maybe you're listening to this podcast and trying to digest what God is doing here, I want you to know that my aim in these moments is to get you ready personally, but also to get us ready collectively. You see, God's word today, as we're about to dive into it together, I want you to know that it is for you. It is for you. One of my fears when it comes to these moments of the year that are holidays, as we may call them, but they're centered around events in the scripture. They're centered around events in the life of Jesus. Christmas, Palm Sunday, Easter Sunday, all fall into this category that for some of us, we're so familiar with the story that we think that's really all this moment is about. Then maybe you're joining us on this Palm Sunday and you know the story. You know how Jesus went into Jerusalem riding on a donkey and people put the palm branches down. You know the story of his wrongful arrest and the kangaroo court that was established to try him and ultimately lead to his execution on a cross at a place called Calvary. You know that 3 days later he got up from the grave. And sometimes these stories that are so familiar to us miss their punch, or we think the only purpose in gathering is to reminisce, to recount, to think back on what had happened. Please don't let that happen to you this Easter week, and particularly on this Palm Sunday. See, I believe that today really is a divine opportunity for you. I believe it's a divine opportunity for us collectively. And my prayer today as we go to the scripture is that your mind would be open, your heart would be open, and you would be ready to receive everything God has for you today through his word. So if you're ready, somebody in that chat, help me out right now and say, I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready. I want you to turn your attention to the New Testament, the book of Luke specifically. We're going to be in the 19th chapter today. We're going to read a few verses together that will set the stage not only for this Palm Sunday, but also set the stage for the word that God has for us today. Because as we zoom out and do look at this moment that is so significant as Jesus enters the city of Jerusalem and prepares to enter the city of Jerusalem, there is a point within this where I want to zero in really, really closely. Because I believe the reality of that moment speaks to you, and it speaks to me, and it speaks to all of us on today. And so my prayer is that you would allow the Spirit of God to say to you what he needs to say to you today as we remember, recount, and celebrate that original Palm Sunday. Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 28, here's how the scripture reads. It says, Jesus went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said, go into the village ahead of you. As you enter it, you will find a donkey tied there on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Say this, the Lord needs it. So those who were sent left and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the young donkey, its owners said to them, why are you untying the donkey? The Lord needs it, they said. Then they brought it to Jesus. After throwing their robes on the donkey, they helped Jesus get on it. As he was going along, they were spreading their robes out on the road. Now he came near a path down the Mount of Olives, and the whole crowd of disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles that they had seen. The King who comes in the name of the Lord is the blessed one. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. I don't know about you, but I love, 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 love to be needed. I know some people don't want anybody ever to call their phone asking for nothing. That's not how I roll. I love to be needed. There is a sense of gratification in me when somebody, out of all the people they could ask, out of all the people they could choose, they pick me and they say, hey, you, can you help me? There's something in me that it's like, yeah, I gotta be honest. Sometimes I think it creates more work for me than I should be working on. Sometimes I get myself involved in other people's issues and situations, and I probably don't even need to get involved in their issues and situations. But because I like to be needed, and if you say you need my help, I'm gonna do everything in my power to help you. I find myself in precarious spots. I go to the grocery store and somebody says they need me and I'm here to help. I don't work at the grocery store, but I sure enough will get that thing off the top shelf or the bottom shelf if you need it. And I ain't prejudiced. I'll do whatever. Hi, hello, it's okay. Like, I like to be needed. It ain't even got to be big stuff. I mean, like, you need somebody to help you carry this thing inside. I got you. You need somebody's opinion. You just need an outside perspective on a decision you have to make. I'm your boy. I like to be needed. And the truth is, for those of us that like to be needed, and any of us when we feel like somebody is asking us for help, we probably, if you were being honest, some of y'all don't want to be this honest, but if you were honest, you would probably recognize that most of the time you like to help people who ask you for something if you feel like they have less and you have more. Like when I'm at a grocery store and somebody asks me to get something off the top shelf, I gotta eye them up. And if they are taller than me, I'm kinda like, why are you even asking this? But if they're shorter than me, it's like, clearly, you know, God bless me with all this height. I'm 6'4", got these long arms. Let me go ahead and get this for you. Cause they have a need that I can see. What's really humbling though, and I mean, like, truly humbling, even for somebody that likes to be needed, is when somebody says they need me. Someone says they need my help. They need my opinion. They need my assistance. They need me. And, well, I don't really think they do need me. But yet they say they do. It's like, you say you need me, but the truth is you can handle this yourself. I remember the first time I was ever invited out of town to go teach and speak at another place. I was actually in seminary, in Bible college, and I was on staff at a church part-time. I was valeting almost full-time, and I was going to school full-time. I had a full life, let's just say. And the man I worked for was one of my best friends in life in that season. I mean, he was literally the best man at my wedding later on in life. And when I was probably 20 years old or so, he approached me about traveling with him to teach together this group of youth pastors. Now, my friend would do this very, very regularly. He would leave town and go speak at events and do this kind of thing. And he regularly would take somebody with him. But most of the time, they just would go with him so he wouldn't be bored. You know, be like, hey, why don't you come with me for 2 days if you're free? But he would never ask me because he knew that I was working every weekend to pay for school and to make life work. Because I was, you know, I may have been 20 years old, but I was all on my own. And so he wouldn't ask, but this one was different. He said, Michael, I don't want you just to come and like hang out. I mean, I would love that, but I know you got stuff to do. But he's like, I really need you to help me teach this. To which I started thinking, this group of youth pastors are all probably twice my age at this point in life. What do I have to give them? Also, like, basically everything I know that I would teach, this man had taught me. So like, what do I have? I'm 20 years old. What new or original or great or what do I have to say? I don't know that you need me. But nevertheless, I said yes. So I went with him. And we taught at this youth pastor's event together. And I remember after it was done, we were flying back. And he told me, he said, look, I'm being serious. I know we joke a lot, but I'm being serious. He said, that was the best like event like this that I've ever done. And he said, you were a big part of that. And started like almost like building me up, like talking about, you know, the perspective I could bring and the way I taught and how I helped youth pastors. And I'm sitting here and I'm hearing this, but there's a part of me that doesn't believe it. Because I'm still thinking like, bro, I think I taught things that you taught me. Like, you could have said all this, you know, you could have done all this. You got stories, you could have made this happen. I don't know that you really needed me. I know you said you did, but I don't know if you did. And it was very hard for a 20-year-old Michael to grasp this. Just like maybe today on this Palm Sunday, this reality that appears to us in Luke chapter 19 may be difficult for you to grasp, because the phrase that jumps out, the phrase that I lifted from this text to make the title of today's sermon out of, would say something that maybe most of us don't believe. The Lord needs this. The Lord needs this. How can the God who created everything ever need anything? Think about that for a second. How can the God who out of the breath of his mouth created all that is ever find himself in a predicament where he needs something? But yet that is what the text bears out to us. How humbling to be in a position where the God who could have anything he wants, when he wants it, how he wants it, because he's God, looks at you, or he looks at me, or in Luke 19, he looks at the owner of a donkey and says, I need something that you have. What you need to understand about God is this is how God works. God chooses to partner with humanity. And rather than taking what is ours, or at least we think is ours, it's really all his, he asked permission to use what we consider ours for his purposes. Now understand, there are a billion ways that God could do whatever it is God wants to do. There are a billion ways that God could bring whatever it is he wants to bring to the table. But yet he reaches out to you and he reaches out to me and he reaches out to owners of donkeys in Luke 19 and he knocks on their door and he says, I need what you have. Why would he operate like this? I will tell you. Will you write this down in your notes? The Lord doesn't need what you have because he's insufficient. He needs what you have because he's including. God doesn't need what you have because he broke. He a little short this month and it's like, man, can you spot me a few? Like, no. God doesn't need what you have because he's insufficient in ability. He's insufficient in resource. He's insufficient in ideas. He's insufficient in power. No, 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 no. That's not our God at all. He doesn't need what you or I have because he's insufficient. He needs what we have because his desire is to include you in the work that he's doing throughout this world. Can I tell you, as somebody who's lived following God for a minute, there are few greater joys in this life than God using what you give him. When you see God take what you had and he starts to use it for his purposes, he starts to bless it, he starts to expand it, he starts to grow it, he starts to do through what you gave him because he asked for it. There are few greater joys in life than looking out and seeing something great happen. Because he asked for what you have, and you gave it to him. Sometimes, you know, it's big stuff. Sometimes what God will ask for, sometimes what we will give will be big stuff. That he'll ask for our talent, and rather than use our talent in the ways that we want to, rather than use our talent to make all the money we can as quickly as we possibly can, rather than use it to build our name and our brand and our fame, we say, God, I give you my talent that you gave me. And I'll let you use it if you say you need it. Or maybe it's when you write the biggest check of your life, and it's not to buy a house, it's not to buy a car, it's not to get something that you've had your eye on for a long time, but it's to be a blessing to the work of God. It's to give to a local church. It's to invest in ministry. It's to provide for missionary, whatever it might be. It's God speaks to your heart and says, I need something you have. Can I tell you, there's no greater joy in life than seeing that. But it doesn't always have to be big stuff. Sometimes it's little stuff. When God takes like little stuff and uses it in ways that go far beyond your imagination. Like when he takes your attention and he says, I need your attention right now. And I want you to take your attention. I want you to give it to this person because they need to see that they are loved and they're cared for and that they are seen. And so I want you to take the attention that you have and I want you to get. Attention seems relatively easy to give. God, you need that from me? Yes, I do. And then when you take something as insignificant as your attention and you place it in his hand and he does great things through it, he brings transformation to people's life. People get hope and they get purpose and they start to see themselves and see God in a whole new way. It's amazing what God does with insignificant stuff, with big stuff, with whatever we have that he asks for, including a donkey. God, why are you gonna need a donkey of all things? It's not about the donkey, though. It's about access. See, some of us want and say, God, I'll do anything you want me to do. Will you? Because you better catch this, baby. Available for anything starts with access to everything. Being available for anything God might want to do in your life and through your life starts with saying, God, you have access to everything. The big stuff and the small stuff. The stuff that I put my name on, the stuff that I feel like is mine, the stuff that I get real territorial about, big things, insignificant things, things I got plans for, things I ain't even thought about. I give you access to everything because, God, I am available for anything. Can I tell you, on this Palm Sunday, I came to preach about a donkey. We're going to spend a little time talking about a donkey. Yes, we are. Because every single one of us own a donkey. Oh, we own a donkey. Now, he may not, hee-haw, like out in your garage, but you have a donkey. You have a donkey, and maybe even on this Palm Sunday, the Lord would speak to you. The Spirit of God would begin to stir on the inside of you and say, hey, I need what you have. See, I came to preach about a donkey today because there's so much that God does through this donkey. And if you don't see it, don't understand it, never had anybody explain it to you, baby, I'm coming to teach the Bible to you today. We're going to see what is significant about this donkey. But the power and the beauty of the miracle that is this donkey, it starts with a silent yes from the owner. A silent yes from the one who owned it. Because today, friend, you have a donkey. But my question for you is, does Jesus have access to it if he says that he needs it? Does he really have access to it? Or do you just like to say, it's available, but please don't talk about it? So let's get to know your favorite Palm Sunday donkey for a moment, shall we? I want to help look back on the significance of this donkey so that you can get a better perspective of your own donkey. Write these down. This donkey, number one, was prophetic. Yes, this donkey was a prophetic donkey. What do I mean? Well, by riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, Jesus was fulfilling an Old Testament prophecy, specifically found in the book of Zechariah chapter 9, where 550 years before Jesus was even born, it was prophesied that the king that they were looking for, and baby, had they been looking for a king, the king that they were looking for would come to them riding on a donkey. This little donkey that seems so insignificant to most of us, this little donkey that maybe if you really grew up in church and they taught you little churchy songs when you was a little kid, you can't help but think about that one little song with the donkey that here comes Jesus riding on a donkey, Hosanna, Hosanna. Like that's all you can think of. I get it. This little insignificant donkey was part of the great plan of redemption that God had for the whole world. The way God was going to save, the way God was going to redeem the whole world started with an announcement that came sitting on the back of something so insignificant, but yet it was prophetic. If God can use even the most humble and lowly creature for his great glory, how might he use what you have if you're willing to give him access to whatever it is you have? If God can take something is insignificant, something is looked over as a donkey, and use it to make an announcement to the whole wide world, how might he use what's in your hand or what's in your house if you would give him access to it? See, there's work that God has planned to do. There is work that God has set in his heart. He is set in his mind, and he said, I'm about to do this, but I need something. And he needs somebody, somewhere, to give him their donkey. Because there are things he wants to do in our community, things he wants to do in our city, things he wants to do in our world. And can I tell you, it's not because he is insufficient and insignificant to be able to do them. He is looking for somebody to include in his great purposes. And that's why he's asking even you on today, Hey, I need what you have. See, this donkey, your favorite Palm Sunday donkey, was prophetic. But this donkey also, you can write it down, this donkey was pure. It wasn't just prophetic, it was pure. The way Luke records it is he says, there you will find a donkey which no one has ridden. It is a tool set aside for a special purpose. Nobody has ever sat on the back of this donkey. It is pure and untainted. Just like everything connected to sacrifice for sin has always had to be pure. And through it, Jesus is showing his power to those who knew and his purity to those who didn't. See, we love to believe that we're incapable of doing something because we've never been there. We don't have the experience. We don't have the talent. But guess what? Neither did the donkey. The donkey had never escorted anyone. He had never provided transportation for anyone. What did it say? No one has ridden it. But yet he was available. It was unbroken, untrained for the work that it was doing. But when it was submitted to God's purposes, hear me, God could use it for his glory. I've learned in my life that the greatest ability that God looks for is availability. He don't need all your talent, and he don't need all your ability, and he don't need all that fluff that comes with you. You know what he needs is availability. He needs somebody to say, I'm willing. And if you ask, I'll give. And if you direct, I'll go. And if you need somebody to step up, I'll step up. Because if you need what I have, I've made myself available, and you have access. It doesn't matter that I don't feel like I'm not qualified. It doesn't matter that I don't feel like I've not had the experiences I need to do the thing you've called me to do in this moment. I'm available to you. This donkey was prophetic. It was pure. But this donkey also, would you write this down? This donkey was profitable. Oh, yes. Profitable. In Jesus's day, a donkey was one of the most valuable possessions that an ordinary family might have. Don't think for a minute because we have a low view of a donkey, or because the donkey might be seen as a lesser than sort of transportation, a humble way to get around town for some people. Don't allow the humility of that sight to be missed by the fact that for most families in Jesus's day, this donkey was significant. Could it be that what God wants from you, what he's asking of from you, is significant to you? See, I think many of us, under the sound of my voice, we're willing to give God whatever it is, as long as it's insignificant. We'll give him all of our time. You know why? Because we got time to burn, baby. We ain't got nothing going on. We'll give him all of our talent because we ain't got that much to give. You know what I'm saying? Like, we'll give him until it feels significant to us. But God, you want that? That's how I make a living. God, you want me to give up this? Do you know what I'm able to do with this time? Do you know what I'm able to? This donkey was profitable. For this family, there's no doubt it was a source of income. However they may have been using it, or however they may have planned to use it, there's no doubt that future economic provision for that family, future economic protection for that family, was somehow hinged to the donkey. But yet, they peek out the window on the first Palm Sunday, and there goes somebody in the garage untying their donkey. What are you doing? They said. Why are you stealing our donkey? That's basically what they said. To which they received the reply, the Lord needs it. And the next thing you know, Jesus is riding on his donkey. There is this silent yes, because the owners speak when they don't know who needs it. See, responding yes to God's request always takes faith. They had to have faith that these men really were working for the Lord. They had to have faith that the Lord was going to use it and that he really did need it. They weren't just trying to take their clout and throw it around and somehow. They had to have some faith. They had to have some faith and believe that maybe somehow God will make all this right. Because we're counting on the donkey. Like, we need the donkey to make this month's rent. We need the donkey so that way we can put our little kids through college. We need the donkey so that way I'll be able to get back and forth to my job. We need the donkey so that we can make the extra income. So we need the donkey, but they had faith. Because responding yes to God's request always takes faith. When the Spirit of God comes knocking on your door, he says, I need what you have. It takes faith to respond with a yes. It always takes faith to respond with a yes. To say, yes, I'll give you my time. This things you're calling me, sure, I will do it. It takes faith, because more than likely what he's asking of you is something that you have plans for how it profits you right now. This donkey was profitable, but not only was it profitable, this donkey was purposeful. There is no doubt this family had plans for the donkey. See, there was value in its purity. The fact that it hadn't been ridden kind of put it in a special class. And I'm sure they had some plans for it. Maybe they were trying to keep it unridden, keep it unbroken in as long as possible, let it get real big, real strong, and then break it in so that way they could sell it as like a low mileage donkey. I don't know. But there was a purpose that they had for the donkey as their possession. There's no way they held on to something like this without purpose for it. And that's the thing about our lives. That's the thing about our influence, our connections, our resources, our time, our breath, our energy, our talent, our everything. We have a purpose for it. Some of us are gifted. Some of you watching right now, you're so gifted. The issue is you have a purpose for your gifting. And so if the Spirit of God comes knocking and asking and saying, hey, I need to use your gifting, you say, but I got plans for this. Or some of you, God has blessed financially. It's like, yeah, I'm gonna give and do some things, but he's saying, no, I need you. I need you to do something that feels like sacrifice for you. Some of you, he's blessed with influence and he comes knocking and it's like, no, but God, I have a purpose for my influence. I have a purpose for my Saturday. I have a purpose for this. I have a purpose for it. How much does Jesus have to say to you before you're willing to let go of something that you have? See, the amazing part of this story to me, on this Palm Sunday, as we remember Jesus riding into Jerusalem, people laying their robes and laying their palm branches on the ground so that this unbroken-in donkey succumbing to the power of Jesus glides him into the city where he will ultimately be arrested, betrayed, lied on, and crucified for the sins of all humanity. The king has come. But the part that is so amazing to me is that when the disciples tell the owners of the donkey that the Lord needs it, they say nothing. Which by the next words that are said, we know that by saying nothing, they said yes. There was no back and forth. No, I need you to sign this agreement. Can my lawyer draft up something? They simply said, yes. What I believe in their happened in their heart when they heard that the Lord needs it, and they had purpose for it, but the Lord needs it, is they believed that the Lord had a greater purpose for it than they did. They believed that maybe somehow God had a greater purpose for their prized possession. God had a greater purpose for this thing that they had been saving and protecting for so long, for a purpose that they had, a purpose that mattered, a purpose that was probably well and good. But they hear that the Lord needs it, and they respond resoundingly with yes, because they believed his purposes were greater than theirs. What is it in your life that Jesus is asking for? Maybe not even just in these moments. Some of you, I may be talking about what the Spirit of God has been speaking to you all year. Since January 1, there's been this stirring on the inside of you. Maybe it's been for the last few weeks. Maybe it's been for years. And you continue to close the door. You continue to talk about, you continue to say, that's not really God. There's no way he would want that from me. There's no way he would want me to do that. What is he asking of yours? Maybe it's your influence. Maybe it's your energy. Maybe it's your money. Maybe it's your time. Maybe it's your future plans. Maybe it's some of your security. Maybe it's your talent. Maybe it's your house. Maybe it's your family. I don't know. Here's the better question. Why is he still asking? Why has it been 3 months or 3 years that he's been asking you for the same thing? Reminding you that he gave you the influence. He put the talent on the inside of you. He gave you the ability to have the resource. He gave you the time to be able to. Why is he still asking? Maybe it's because, unlike this owner in Luke 19, you believe your purpose matters more than his. The purposes that you have for your money matter more than God's purposes for your money. The plans you have for your future matter more than God's plans for your future. The things you want to fill some of your free time with matter more than the things he's calling you to fill your free time with. The donkey was purposeful, like all of our donkeys are. Your donkey got a purpose, my donkey got a purpose too. Because ultimately, and this is the last little bit, we've got to talk about the donkey. But the donkey was personal. Yes, it was prophetic, and yes, it was pure. It was profitable, it was purposeful, but it was also theirs. Luke tells us that they found the donkey tied up. This wasn't some finder's keeper situation. It was in the garage, okay? They didn't find a stray out on the street, you know what I'm saying? Like, this was somebody's, they were in somebody's garage untying the donkey when the owner comes out and like, what you doing with my donkey? The Lord needs it. It belonged and mattered to someone when the Lord said he needed it. Somebody had purpose for their donkey. Somebody had plans. Somebody was making money off their donkey. Somebody had kept it pure when the Lord made an announcement to them through their disciples that I need what you have. See, the donkey had owners, and that's what Luke calls them. And they ask why their donkey is being taken before they understand who needs it. But once they comprehend who needs what they have no more questions, even though it was personal. When they hear that the Lord needs this, they let go. And over these last few weeks, as we've looked forward to this Palm Sunday, the Spirit of God has been stirring in my heart this simple reality. Because I believe God wants something from you this week. on the week when we remember, the week when we celebrate the greatest gift in human history, God giving his son giving up his life so that your sin and mine could be covered for good, and then proving all power was in his hand by rising from the dead 3 days later. I believe that God wants something from us in this Easter week, this special week. And it's something that you don't trust him with right now. Maybe because it's too personal for you. Maybe because it's too profitable for you. Maybe because you don't see yet prophetically what God wants to do through it. Maybe because it is something you have set aside in its purity for a long time to keep it well. Maybe because you have great plans for it. I believe that God wants something from you this week. Something that you do not trust him with right now. You say, what is it? Well, maybe this week, for some of you, this will be the week that you bring someone to church with you. Some of you may remember, if you've been joining us for a little bit of time, a few weeks ago, as we concluded a series that we were in called Till Memphis Looks Like Heaven, we did t-shirts and hats, and we had a great time being challenged. Some people are glad we're done with that series because I offended you too much, but that's a whole deal. I'm glad I offended you. But in the final installment of this series, we talked about how it's got to be personal. And what's got to be personal isn't just the place that God has set us to watch over, but the fact that there are people who are near to us and far from God. And I shared as part of this sermon the fact that the majority of people that sit in churches on Sunday do not bring people with them to church ever in a year. And I've had a lot of people talk to me about that reality. Some in person, some via messages, all sorts of stuff. And I am humbled by the way the Holy Spirit used that idea to stir within the inside of you. But I got one message that struck me. Because this person said, you know, I've been faithfully involved in church for the better part of the last 30 years. They said, as you were talking about that, here's what I knew was true. I had never in my life brought someone who needed God with me to church. And then they said, and that's about to change. See, maybe for some of you, you've got relationships that you've kept in their cabinet. That's just my buddy I play golf with. That's just my girl. We just go get our nails done. You know, I just work with them. It's fine. We just worked together for 15 years, but it's just I work with them. I hear you. But what if the Lord says, I need that? I need that influence I've given you. I need that relationship I afforded you. I need that because they need me. And I don't want you to wait another week. I'm asking, I'm knocking right now. The influence, maybe this would be the week that you break your silence. Maybe this would be the moment where you say, enough is enough, and God, whatever you need, I'll give to you. Maybe this will be the week you serve with some capacity. I know you've got reasons for why you can't serve, but some of you know the Spirit of God keeps disturbing you saying, I want you to serve. I gave you strength and I gave you ability. Some of you are like, I don't even know where I could serve. You could serve with us on Saturday at our Easter party. Man, we're going to have hundreds of people join us. And creating a beautiful experience for them starts with a whole lot of people serving. And maybe you would give up a Saturday morning, the day before Easter, to serve other people. Maybe you would say, you know what? I'm going to start serving on Sundays. You know, here's an idea. What if you serve one service and then sit in another? Some people think church, you can only come for 1 hour. What are you talking about? Like, what if you served one as a host, greeting people when they come in, helping people have an incredible, what if you got involved in Be Kids because you love kids? What if you started being a part of what God is doing and not just say, I'm going to consume what's good for me, because maybe the Lord has been speaking to you saying, I need that. Maybe for some of you, he's talking to you about your money. Some of you have made excuse after excuse after excuse after why you don't give. You don't make enough. You make too much. I'm saving for this vacation. I'm saving for this house. You're saving for everything except trying to save people. And the Holy Spirit has been messing with you. He said, I need you to give. I need you to be a part of building my house. I need you to be a part of blessing others. You've been living off other people's generosity. It's time for other people to live off your generosity. I need you. I don't know what he's speaking to you. Maybe for some of you, he's saying, I need your whole life. You've been sitting here in church. You've been listening. Maybe you come because you've got a friend who brings you. Maybe you come because you are entertained or it helps you to think, but you know you've never surrendered all that you are to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And maybe this would be the week where he says, I need something and it's you. Friend, today as I close, would you write this down? My prayer for you today is that you would realize you have something God needs. It's humbling, ain't it? To think for a second that the God who spoke and everything that is became needs something. But he needs something from you. He needs something from me. He needs something from all of us. And I want the light bulb to go off now. To realize that you have something God asks. And here's all I'm asking you to do. Be willing to release when he asks. Some of you may say, I don't feel like God asked me anything this week. Fine, maybe this was for somebody else. Maybe it was for me. But you be willing to release when he asks. He says, now is the time I want you to invite them. You be ready. He says, now is the time I want you to serve. Now is the time I want you to give. Now is the time. Some of you, he may ask you to pray all week long. He may ask you to wake up an hour early every single day and to put this whole week before him in prayer and to be praying for every family that will come to the Easter party and be praying for Good Friday service and be praying for Easter Sunday services and be praying for our city and praying for our community. You know, a lot of people pray on our city. What if the people of God started praying for the city they were in? Maybe that's what he would ask of you. Just be willing to release when he asks. And then watch him use what you have for his glory. The owners of this donkey, the ones who surrender its whole being off of their silent yes, because the Lord needs it. I can't even imagine what they felt as they placed their palm branch on the ground. As they put their robe on the ground, elbowed the person next to him, say, you know where he got that donkey? He asked us for it. See, this is going to be a beautiful week. People are going to be saved. People are going to be encouraged. People that have never come to church are going to come to church. People that normally would have nothing to do with people of God are going to interact with the people of God. People are going to be prayed for. People are going to be loved. People are going to see God moving in their community. My fear is that some of you will push down the prompting of the Holy Spirit because it feels too invasive for you. And when the donkey passes by, y'all have no investment in what God does. Because he asked you. He said, I need you. You said, that's too personal. You said, that's too expensive. You said, I got plans for that. You said, I've been saving that. You said, I don't see how you would want to use this. You know what I want our prayer to be as people this week? It's just people who say, Lord, I'm available to you. Could you make that your prayer even now? Maybe some of you could even verbalize that prayer by typing it in the chat if you're watching at church online. If you're on YouTube, man, put this in the comments. Lord, I'm available to you. Lord, I'm available to you. Whatever you need, whatever you want, whatever you ask, I'm available to you. If there's anything I have that you need, you can have it. Just ask. Because I want to see your kingdom come. And I want to see your will be done here, this week, as it is in heaven. Father, I thank you in advance for all that you are going to do. Because as I look back, I see everything that you have done. And I pray that we, your people, would be people who live our lives with open hands to you. So that whenever your spirit says, I need what you have, we would respond resoundingly with yes. Whatever you have, whatever you want, I'm available. And the answer is always yes. Father, I pray you use us for your honor, for your glory, and the good of people around us. Pray all this, Jesus, in your name. And everybody said, amen.